We'll be looking at John 6, verses 60 through 71 today. We must realize that we are living in an hour when many are walking away from the things of the Lord. This, though, should not surprise us, because it is exactly what the Bible said would happen in the last days. We are told that there will be a falling away. You read that in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. We are also told that in the end times, men will have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, or having a form of godliness. 2 Timothy 3, verse 5. Yet, when we see it happening all around us, when we see this apostasy going on all around us, we're surprised. We're shocked. I think the verses that we have read, you didn't get a chance to hear me read them, the verses that we're looking at today in chapter 6 shed some light on this problem of people falling away. There are some insights in this text as to why people make the decisions they do concerning their walk with the Lord. Allow me to share a few of them with you. First of all, in verses 60 through 66, since many of you didn't hear me read this, I'll read verses 60 to 66 of John 6. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What then, if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing, no thing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, "Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. How tragic. Went back and walked with him no more. As this chapter unfolds, it becomes increasingly clear that doubt, suspicion, and hostility are mounting against the Lord Jesus Christ. These people who wanted to make him king after he had fed them, we've seen that in verse 15, where it said in John 6, verse 15, "Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone." So now these same people that wanted to make him king after he had fed them, now they want nothing more to do with them after they hear his message. What happened? Why the change? The change took place because Jesus told them the truth and they couldn't handle the truth. Notice some of the claims that he makes in John 6. We'll be looking at verses 29 and 32 and 35. So, first of all, in verse 29 it says, "Jesus answered and said to them, 'This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent.'" So he's clearly telling the people he's been sent by God the Father and he is the way of salvation. That offends people. That he, Jesus Christ and Christ alone, he is the way of salvation. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, not any other person, no other name has been given amongst men whereby we must be saved. So he tells them, he is the way of salvation, in verse 29. In verse 32, he tells them he's the Son of God. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father. A son calls someone a father, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. So the truth is, he is the way of salvation. The truth is that he is the Son of God. Also, that he is superior to Moses and the manna that was given in the wilderness. Look at verse 35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. He's superior to Moses in the manna. He's the Son of God. He is the way of salvation. And this is the most offensive of it all, that salvation was a matter of faith alone. We see that in verses 35 through 40. I just read to you 35. Let's continue, 36 through 40. But I say to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. There's something else that is offensive. Those that the Father gives him. Salvation comes to those who the Father has given. Offensive truth to many people. For I have come down from heaven. Come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. You see how that these truths are so offensive to people. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all, notice, he has given me. The doctrine of election, people hate that doctrine. All he has given me, I should lose nothing. The perseverance of God with the saints, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. What truths! Believing, salvation, a matter of faith alone. Christ superior to Moses and the manna. Christ claiming to be the Son of God. Christ being the way of salvation. And that, apart from God's intervention, they could not believe. You talk about offensive. You're talking about an assault on the free will of man. Apart from God's intervention, they could not believe. Look at verse 44. No one can come to me, notice, unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up at the last day. Unless the Father who sent me draws him. Well, what's the flip side of that? If he doesn't draw, you don't come. Verse 65. And he said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. You talk about can't handle the truth. I didn't ask you, did you like what you just heard? But is it the truth? When truth is revealed to us, there are only two possible reactions to it. It can be received or it can be rejected. People receive the truth when they see it for what it is. Truth. Is it the truth? Not did it make you feel good. Is it the truth? People reject the truth for many reasons. Let me give you a few. First of all, people misunderstand it. Nicodemus thought Jesus was talking about gynecology, genealogy, when he was actually speaking of the new birth. The woman at the well thought Jesus Christ was talking about plumbing, when he was actually talking about himself, the water of life. The man at the pool of Bethesda Bethsaida thought Jesus was talking about a rescue mission, when he was actually talking about placing faith in himself. This trend continues today. That's why people will come to a quote-unquote church, come to a building, and get baptized without even being saved. That is why the Word of God is so offensive to many people. They misunderstand the truth, and as a result, they reject it. When they hear the truth, they walk out. They walk away. They go out. So first of all, some people misunderstand the truth. Secondly, some people are opposed to the truth. As Jesus revealed himself and his demands in this passage, the Jews were in constant and increasing opposition. You see that in verses 41, 42, verse 52 and 60. I'll just read 52 to you. The Jews themselves quarreled amongst themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Hard truths. Verse 60. Therefore, many of the disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" People opposed to the truth. The Jews were not able to accept his deity, his impending death, or his claim to lordship. They opposed him at every turn. So it is today. Many are opposed to the truths of the Bible and the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. His call to commitment goes against their desire to live for self. And as a result, they find themselves in opposition to the Lord. The claims of the gospel, the cross, and the blood of Christ are designed to be offensive. They are supposed to offend, to drive the goats away. But yet today, the quote-unquote Christendom is courting the goats, bringing them in, dumbing down the message, changing it, making it that it's not offensive anymore. Some people misunderstand. Some people are opposed. Some people are blind to the truth. All the way through this passage, the Jews had this approach to Jesus Christ. Show us and we will believe. Show us. Yet the scripture said, "Blessed are those who haven't seen and yet believe." Show us and we will believe. They must have been from Missouri. Show me. Show me, say. Show us and we will believe. They have already seen him feed 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. We saw that in verses 5 through 13. They had already surmised that he had somehow miraculously crossed the lake in verses 22 to 25. Yet they were blind to who he was and what he was doing. When he made his claims and issued his call to commitment, they were unable to see the truth because they were blind. The sad fact of the matter is this. All men are blind to the truth until their eyes are supernaturally opened by the intervention of God. I just read a couple of verses to you about that. Look at John 6, 65. "Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." The Lord has to make you alive. The Lord has to draw you. The Lord has to have mercy upon you. Some people misunderstand the truth. Some people are opposed to the truth. Some people are blind to the truth. Why is it so many people reject the truth and embrace the lie? Is it because they're blind? Because they're opposed to the truth? Because they misunderstand the truth? Or maybe it's that some people want the experience, but they don't want the expectation of the Lord. These people were following Christ because he had satisfied their fleshly appetites. They wanted more of the same. In fact, they wanted Christ to prove that he was greater than Moses. They were looking for something that satisfied their flesh and that made them feel good about themselves. That's the majority of Christendom today, my friend. They wanted an experience. They wanted to be following the next king, the next great thing, the happening thing, where it's all taking place. They wanted the miracles and the sensational. But when Jesus Christ began to talk about his expectations, and when he issued a call for commitment, they turned away from him and walked away. Why? They wanted to be carried away in the excitement of the moment, but no commitment. No commitment, whatever. The same mentality has developed within Christendom today. There are many today who want a religious experience, but without any expectations of them. They want to serve God for what they can get out of it, without any concern for his glory. We've been created to glorify our Creator. They have no concern for God's glory and for his will. They want entertainment and excitement without the commitment that comes along with the proclamation of the truth. They can't handle the truth. The quote-unquote churches that are growing the fastest today are those who minimize biblical doctrine, minimize the requirements of the faith, and emphasize entertainment and experience. All you need to succeed today as a church is a contemporary band, a message that challenges no one's life, a youth program that will babysit the children while the parents are lulled to sleep with a feel-good message, having their toes rubbed, and it's all so touchy-feely. But it's devoid of the truth. People who walk away from the things of God, let me put it to you bluntly, they're selfish, they're self-centered, they're only concerned about themselves and how they feel. You don't make me feel right, Pastor. There's probably even some of you listening right now that are saying, man, you are harsh, dude. But is it the truth? Is it the truth? I would rather be called harsh than for on that day of judgment people would say, oh, but he didn't tell me the truth. Bill didn't tell me the truth. I brought forth all scripture to you. And I said about selfishness, people today, imagine the disciples, how they felt when the multitude walked away. There's 12 of them left, thousands walked away. Those who are left are always adversely affected by those who chose to walk away. I've been a Christian for over 30 years. I've seen so many people walk away. Because truth be told, they were never of the faith. And that's why they went out. And I'm not talking about some particular denomination or something like that. Went out from the fellowship of the saints. You had things in common. You quote-unquote loved the Lord, you thought. And they just walked away, never to be seen again. You call them, they don't answer. You try to track them down, they don't answer the door. Realize this, brothers and sisters. Not everyone can handle the truth. Sometimes the truth is tough. And it's just supposed to be tough. Because very often, where people are like in the church of Laodicea, they're not hot, they're not cold. Sometimes they need a good bucket of cold water of the truth in the face to wake up. Sometimes the truth makes demands upon our lives. Sometimes the truth is brutal and seems unloving. But the truth is always true. It is always right. And it is always perfect. Not everyone can handle the truth. And the question facing everyone today is, can you handle the truth? If you are a believer, can you handle the truth that Christ is all? And everything else is secondary in life. Christ is all. Everything is to fall down below the Lord. Everything is to worship the Lord. He is the one who is worthy of our worship. And we're to put no person, thing, object, career, anything. You fill in the blank. Nothing before Christ. For Christ is Lord. And my friend, if you're listening today and you've never come to Jesus Christ, today is the day to come. Scripture says today is the day of salvation. The scripture says, for it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. And the truth has been presented to you today, my friend. The scripture says that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Come to Christ today, my friend, and be saved. In Jesus' precious name, amen.